to My Journey of Faith Radio with your host, Vicki Petz Henderson, physician, writer, speaker, encourager, and lover of God's Word. My Journey of Faith is a place to inspire, equip, and encourage women in their personal walks with Christ. Here's your host, Vicki Petz Henderson.
Welcome to My Journey of Faith Radio. I'm so glad you joined me this afternoon. I want to welcome my guest, Pam Pegram. Welcome, Pam.
Thank you so much. I'm excited to be here.
When Pam has one of those Mississippi accents. I love a Mississippi accent.
What accent?
Well, Pam is the author of Saved by Grace, Now What? And it's how to put Jesus in the center of your life. And she's an author, blogger, speaker, and Bible study leader who has a passion to help others realize their value and worth and the love that the Creator has for them no matter what. I love that.
Oh, well, I'm excited to be here.
Well, tell us about how you first got into writing. How long have you been writing?
Oh, well, I started writing, I guess it's been about 3 years, and it's kind of funny because this was not my idea. This was not my plan. So many times women who do write will ask me, you know, how you've just always written or how you've always journaled. And I'm like, no, that was just not me. I was in a career where I was an accessory stylist and really felt a calling. It gave me such an opportunity to mentor women and be with women and just pour into the lives of other women, and really thought that that was my forever calling, you know. And God kind of tapped me on the shoulder, and at first just started whispering more to me. And I was a workaholic at the time, and I just said, I can't do anymore, Lord. I don't even know why you're whispering more to me. Like, there is no more of me. And over a period of time, he showed me he wasn't asking me to do more. He was calling me to be more of who he created me to be and to love him more and just to pursue his call in my life. And I finally just gave up and said, okay, what is it? What do you want? And the first calling I felt was to start a blog. And it really did just fall in my spirit. Pam, you're to start a blog. And the name of the blog is masterwhatmatters.org. I mean, he didn't say .org. I'll take that back. He said the name of the blog is Master What Matters. And so I fought with that for a while and didn't even really even know what a blog was. And I remember talking to my son-in-law about it, and he said, you know, Miss Pam, you're just going to have to be obedient. I mean, God is just really pressing this on you, and you just need to be obedient. You know, it might just be just, excuse me, just one blog post. And I was a little bit frustrated about that. I didn't even know what a blog was. Was it a Facebook page? Was it a website? I just wasn't sure. And I sat down at my laptop and just bumped it. And when I did, my Twitter page came up with a Michael Hyatt post that said, how to start a blog in 20 minutes.
And 20 minutes later, here you are.
That's right. 20 minutes later, I had one all set up and started blogging. So.
That is a cool story. And I have kind of a similar story. I was a physician. And I became disabled and I wanted to write. And a friend of mine came over to the house and she said, you should start a blog. And I said, no, I'm not interested in doing that. And then it just burned in my heart. I was like, oh my goodness. Cause I had taught adult Sunday school for 10 years. I'm like, this could be like a Sunday school class online. And I was the same way. I didn't read blogs. I didn't have time for blogs. I didn't know anything about them. And the next thing you know, it's like, I'm a blogger.
You know, when I went to my very first She Speaks conference, I knew I needed a contact card. And so I had one made up and, you know, with all my information, it said Pam Pegram, writer. And I can remember someone would say, well, do you have a card? And I'm like, here's my fraudulent business card. You know, like, I just felt like a fish out of water. It was just out of my comfort zone, you know. And so, but anyway, God has been so faithful through this whole journey to just lead me and guide me and just to put people in my life who would encourage me, you know.
That is cool. It's cool that you just opened up Twitter and you had what you needed right at your fingertips. I mean, yes. I love it when God confirms that so clearly. So how often do you write on your blog?
Well, with the ending of actually getting the book in print, I've kind of slowed down just a little bit, but I do blog once a week.
Yeah.
Typically post on Wednesday mornings and once a week.
Well, I also like, after reading your website and just kind of seeing what your heart is to encourage women to be all that they are and have their identity in Christ and to feel love no matter what, I just see how, like me, God used your history of being a stylist, an accessory stylist, because that's what you're doing. You're maximizing the way someone looks. You're maximizing the way someone feels. You're teaching them to pursue that, and it's kind of the same thing.
Yes, they do kind of correlate. You know, it's I just began to realize God placed a burden on my heart that so many people were like me. I'd grown up in a Christian home, and I loved the Lord. I did. I accepted Jesus as my Savior at a young age, and I never doubted that. But to be really honest, I never put Him first in my life. I always came first, and then my need for a man as I got older came before the Lord, and then my career came before the Lord. My children came before that, and I just had things out of order in my life. And I realized that I wasn't the only one, that so many of us who have accepted Jesus as our Savior don't really know Him and certainly don't have an intimate relationship with Him, but we're just a little afraid to acknowledge that, you know, and to say, what does that look like? How do I find myself to a place of intimacy with Jesus? And so, again, I mean, God just laid it on my heart and pretty much told me, you're going to write a book. And the name of the book is Saved by Grace, Now What? And that this was what it was going to be about. And he actually laid that on my heart before I even realized that I had really been in that place, you know. And I came to understand as I was writing, you know, how much I really understood what I was writing about, you know, that I had actually lived that. And that's why I had been through a lot of things in my past, was because I had never really, really understood how to put Jesus first, you know, make Him the center of everything.
And I think one of the hindrances that we have when we grow up in church and we sort of have known Jesus since the cradle is what I always say, that we sit there, I don't know about you, but for me, for many, many years, I sat in Sunday school and church, and every week I'd think, man, I ought to do better at this, because, you know, all these people around me, they've got it all figured out, and I'm just here struggling. And I think just admitting, you know what, this isn't an intimate relationship, and He's not my priority. And I think nobody wants to admit that, and so we all walk around pretending, and nobody's being real.
Right. And so as I started writing, you know, I just kept telling God, like, I have nothing that qualifies me to write this. Like, I am not a biblical scholar. Like, I don't know every story. I don't know, you know. And I just argued back and forth and back and forth. And then what I came to realize was that I'm not writing to tell people how to do it. I mean, I'm writing to say, hey, let's just hold hands and figure this out together. You know, let's just go on this journey together, because, man, you know, when you grow in your relationship with Jesus and come in to know Him more, like, that's good stuff, you know, and that's where we want to be headed, you know. Not that I have all the answers or anybody has all the answers, but gosh, we know where to find the answers, and that's by just, you know, going to the Word, and what does God say? What does God say about that? You know, what does He tell us to do? In order to put Jesus first and to grow in our relationship with Him.
Well, and you talk about that seeking to live an abundant life. What is it that made you want that? What is it that ignited your passion to say, I want to follow harder after Christ? Was there something in particular, or was it just something that kind of grew over time?
Well, absolutely it grew over time, but I think God just began to reveal to me that my life was not about me. And don't we think it is? Mm-hmm. I mean, I just, you know, we live as if our life is all about us finding happiness in the things of this world. And that's really not what our life is about at all. And, you know, John 10:10 tells us that the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And he has certainly stealed, you know, stolen some things from me and killed some things in my life. And I had been through some times of suffering. And I think, if I had never gone to that place where, as I sat suffering and struggling and not going, knowing what to do, but as I sat there, I realized that Jesus was right there with me, and through that process of letting him lead me and guide me through that, then I came to understand what it meant to have a real relationship with him, what it meant to trust him and to wait on him and to allow him to just carry me through, that I came to really understand what an abundant life was all about.
That is so true. And I think suffering has so much redemptive value, and it's not something we want to choose. You know, we all say, well, I want to be closer to Jesus, but, and I always, the theme of my life this last year is I want to know Christ and I want to know the power of his resurrection, even if it means the fellowship of his sufferings. But I think what I have come to understand is it always means the fellowship of his suffering. And personally, I'd just rather skip that.
Yes.
I'd just rather move on past that and let's just do the knowing Christ and the power of his resurrection. But I don't really want to join him in his sufferings. And sometimes we suffer because of our own choices, and sometimes we suffer because of the choices of others, or sometimes, you know, we just live in a world that's full of suffering. But those are the times when he is so near and in a real way and in such a personal, intimate way. I always say I wouldn't choose it, but I don't think I'd go back and trade it for anything either.
Oh, absolutely not. It's such a sweet time where mm-hmm. you just feel his presence in a way that, you know, that you never have before, and where he proves just how faithful he is, and, you know, that he fulfills every promise that he's given us. And, you know, you come to understand those promises are mine. You know, they're not just for other people, the holy and the good, but they're mine too. And such a precious time.
That's so true. Yes. We were doing Bible study this morning. We were talking about the Holy Spirit, and someone said, I discount that because I think that the power of the Holy Spirit lives so openly in other people, and I don't have that power in my life, but it's available.
Absolutely, yes.
It's available to all of us. And one of the things that you said is that everyone can live loved.
Yes. Absolutely.
And you have a Bible study that you lead. Is that something that you encounter, that a lot of women struggle with not feeling loved or struggle with self-worth?
Yes, absolutely. You know, I think we find our identity in all of the wrong things. I think we carry our past around like backpacks and suitcases that we drag everywhere that we go, and all of our mistakes and all of the bad things that have happened to us, all the things that people have said about us, and we get confused and think that those things identify who we are and ultimately affect how Jesus loves us, you know, but that's not true, you know, but that's, we see things from our perspective, and so many times it's from a worldly perspective, and, you know, we tend to love those who love us, and it's hard for us to accept that Jesus loved us when we did not love him, you know, and when we were running away from him, he still loved us completely. And so, you know, I've had ladies, you know, even share with me that there was a time in their life when they said they believed that God loved everybody except them, you know, but not me, you know, because maybe they've been keeping a secret, or maybe they've been through a really hard time and just thought, you know, God's not going to be able to forgive that. They had never forgiven themselves. So how could God forgive what they had done? And it's just heartbreaking, you know, when you think about that. But, you know, scripture tells us that God has lavished his love on us. And I love that word, lavished. I mean, that just is such a great word. I mean, it means not just a little bit, not just a few drops of love, but he has lavished his love on us, just poured it out, you know, all over us, and loves us so much that he sent his son, you know, to die for us. And I mean, I have children, and, you know, what a sacrifice that would be. And it's just amazing when you sit down and just rest in how deeply God loves us and how unconditionally he loves us, no matter what.
Absolutely. That makes me think of that verse that says that no height, no depth, no angel, no demon, no power, no principality, nothing can separate us from the love of God. And so on your book, Saved by Grace, Now What? When was that published?
It actually just came out the first of February.
Oh, yay. So
yes.
We're here at the beginning of your journey.
Yes, we are. So everybody's, it's so funny because everyone's like, oh, are you so excited? And I just look at them like, you know, there's so many emotions associated with it. And I really don't even feel like it's mine. You know, I think there were so many times as I was writing that God just made it so clear, this really isn't about you, Pam. You know, and in the beginning, I feared like, there's nothing that qualifies me to write this. And, you know, I kept going back where he would just show me that he qualifies the unqualified, you know, he equips the called. And it didn't matter, you know, what I thought or how I felt, that this was something he was asking me to do. And I just needed to do that and walk in obedience to him and trust him enough with it. And so it's just been kind of surreal, you know, when people say, are you excited? I'm just so humbled by it, you know, and just so thankful for this journey. You know, it's kind of like being a Sunday school teacher. I'm sure I learned way more writing this book than anybody who reads it ever will. And the moments that I've had with him during this have just been so incredibly precious, where he has shown up. You know, when I've sat down and just thought, I have nothing, Lord. I don't even know what to say. Like, where do I even start here? And how faithful he has been just to help me get words on the page.
I love that. And I love that you said it's not a book that says, here, I figured it all out. Here's what you need to do. It's let's lock arms and let's walk this journey together. But do you have someone in particular that you write for? And I don't mean a single person, but is it more of a book for someone that, like us, that maybe has known Jesus since they were a little girl, but never really optimized on that personal level? Or is it also a very good book for someone who is a new believer?
It is a great book for a new believer. And when I very first started writing it, I really thought, I was thinking about a new believer, and the more I wrote and the more I talked to my friends and girls just in my circle, the more they shared with me, I need that. And sometimes I was so surprised. I was just thinking, gosh, you know, you've been leading small group for years, or you've been in church your whole life. And they're like, yeah, but I need that. I need to know. How do I live out my faith? You know, how do I grow spiritually mature? How do I discern, you know, what God is calling me to do? Like, how do I do, you know? And so, you know, I just realized that it was about so many of us, because all of us can go deeper. All of us can take a step closer to Jesus, no matter where we are. And so I really think there's something for everybody in this book, you know, and now that it's actually getting out and I'm hearing back from some people, again, I'm just blown away by girls who really have been spiritual mentors for me, are coming back and saying, okay, I loved this. I really needed this in this book. Or I really needed to hear that, because, you know, it helped me just take one more step closer to the Lord. So, you know.
Well, and I think in church, you know, I'm just thinking about the verse that says, he who began a good work in me will carry it on to completion. And so often what happens, whether you're a little girl or whether you're an adult, you come to Christ, and a lot of times you don't really grow because no one shows you what that looks like. And you know, I was an obstetrician. I delivered a lot of babies and I always gave the analogy. If your two-year-old is not walking and doing certain milestones, everybody would be going crazy, going, you need to take that baby to the doctor. Something's wrong. But yet, if we have somebody that's a new believer, and a year later they're at the same place, and a year later they're at the same place, or if we look in the mirror and we go, I am in the same place that I was a year ago, and I'm not developing and meeting the milestones I would meet. And not that we have a set pattern that we do that. We all grow in different ways. But we would be going, what's wrong? Something's wrong. And yet it's very acceptable, I feel like, in the Christian walk to remain stagnant.
Yes, I agree. You know, there's the scripture in the Bible that talks about milk and how the word is like milk. But that's just the basic principles, and that as a Christian, we're supposed to devour the meat and to go to that next level and to gain that spiritual growth. And, you know, I think just like what you just said, I mean, I certainly did that. I mean, I knew Jesus. I mean, I had accepted him as my Savior and I loved him, but I had never done my part to get to know him. You know, like, I had never really invested time in the Word. I had never really, I prayed, but I didn't really develop my prayer life, you know, where it was, you know, when the Bible says pray without ceasing, we're like, oh, what, whatever. How do you, you know, we can't do that. That's impossible. But to come to understand what it means is just to carry Jesus with you throughout the day so that you can talk to him all day throughout your day, you know, and let him be your best friend. And, you know, I just like what you just said. I mean, I accepted him and I loved him and I went to church, but I had never really plugged in and really gotten to know who he was and spent a lot of time in his word. And I think it's so easy for us to all say, gosh, I'm so busy. You know, I really don't have time to get in the word. And I just came to a place where I'm just like, really, Pam? Like, really? You know, he hung on a cross and died for you. And you want to tell me you're going to make an excuse, you know, to spend time with him? And so I came to a place where that became important to me. And I tell you what, if you start getting in the word and let the word get into you, it is life changing. You know, it will shake things up in your life for sure. And there's really nothing sweeter than getting to know him and growing closer to him.
That is absolutely true. That is when my relationship with the Lord began to change and develop and grow, is when I got into the word. And there are no shortcuts for that. That is a must. It is an absolute must. And I always read my Bible, but I don't think I understood a lot of things, and I didn't dig in until I'd been a Christian for many, many years.
Right. And I think, too, I mean, we all fall into the trap of saying, okay, I'm going to do my devotional. And so we read it. It takes 5 minutes, you know, 3 minutes just to read this little bitty short devotional. And we're like, check.
Mm-hmm.
We mark that off our to-do list, but yet we never really spend any time with the Lord. We just read it, check, ran about to the next thing instead of just be still. Sometimes you don't even have to, you know, even have a devotional. Just be still and just get along with God. You know, it makes such a difference in our life.
Yeah, and I heard someone say one time to read a scripture a day to keep the devil away, and I thought, no, 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 it's going to take a whole lot more than a scripture a day to keep the devil away. In fact, the more you dig in, the more he's coming after you. It's been my experience.
Yes, that's the truth, yes.
So any other principles of the book that you want to share? I mean, you know, I mean, we know these things. We know that we're supposed to read the word. We know that we're supposed to pray. I'm assuming this is more of a fleshing it out of how that became real to you.
It is. And, you know, there's just different chapters on different things. One of my favorites is relationship versus religion. Mm-hmm. You know, and I think that's a struggle for so many of us. We just practice religion. You know, we do what is expected of us. And so when we practice religion and don't grow in our relationship, then, you know, we find that we're way more judgmental because we're going, well, I do this, 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 and this. Does that person? And you know, everything becomes about our works and our actions and not really about our heart. And, you know, Jesus is really concerned with our heart and how much of our heart he takes up. You know, what is our heart full of? Is it full of our selfish ambition and our self-centered desires and our personal wants? Or is it filled up with him? And, you know, I think, too, there has to just be this paradigm shift in our life where we stop praying, you know, God, please, please let me have my way. You know, here's this path that I've chosen to walk. Now, please bless me as I walk down it. And we have to go from there to this shift of, I no longer want to walk my path. I want to walk the path that he has for me. And I no longer want my will to be done, but I want his will to be done in my life. And I want my way to line up with his way. I want my way to become, Lord, please help me live my life your way. And when those things match up, you know, then that's when we really start to grow in our relationship, and when we see a transition from, I'm no longer just practicing religion, but I truly am developing a relationship with Jesus. I mean, it's like with our spouse, we're supposed to be as one, and the Bible tells us that's where we're supposed to be headed, you know, with Jesus, to be headed to a relationship where we are one with him. And, you know, we can't do that if we don't get to know him.
And that requires time. All relationships take time to cultivate. Yes. And I think you hit the nail on the head when you talked about how busy we are, because everyone struggles with that busyness. And And it takes discipline, but then again, the discipline is kind of a paradox because the discipline is the checklist, but the passion is the relationship. But sometimes you have to do one to get the other, I feel like.
Absolutely. You know, I remember my pastor, right before I started writing this, he had preached a series and he talked about having margin in your life and how important that was. And that really rocked my world because I didn't have any margin. I was a workaholic, 3 grown children, have grandchildren.
That's what I've heard.
It's incredible. And I just have a very busy life. And I filled every minute. I was just one of those people who, if I wasn't doing something, I found something to do. Like, I was never idle. And so I began to create margin in my life. I began to mark off on my calendar time. And, you know, when we're so busy all the time, then we just really can't have any intimacy with Jesus because we're so busy. We're just putting out fires. We're just running from here to there to here to there. And there's just static, you know, there's just static noise all the time. But when we create a little bit of margin, then it's in those times when we can start hearing God and start experiencing Him and where He can speak into our lives because there's not so much clutter, you know, and just to be still every now and then. And I had to learn to give myself permission to do that, you know. It's so funny, you know, when you answer the phone, what do people say? Hey, girl, what are you doing? You know, it's like we all expect everybody to be doing something all the time. And it's okay to have a day off. You know, it's okay to mark 4 hours off on your calendar or, you know, 30 minutes every morning, whatever it is that you choose that you want to do. But I think we just have to have some margin.
Yes, even with the Lord. I mean, I remember not very long ago asking the Lord, Lord, what is it you want me to do? And I felt like He said, what makes you think I always want you to do something?
Right.
And that was just like, what? It was a foreign concept. And it's counterculture, I think. It's really very much counterculture. Well, before we finish up, if you would just tell everyone where they can find you online.
Okay. My website is www.pampegram.com. It's PAMPEGRAM. And that's probably the easiest place. From there, you can find my blog and find my book and just about anything that you're looking for. And then also I'm on Facebook and Twitter and Instagram as well. And there are links to all of those places on the website.
And I will definitely put those on this podcast as well. Well, thank you so much for being with me today.
Thank you so much. I enjoyed my time with you. I look forward to getting to know you a little bit better.
Sounds great.